pray for you, John, before you bring our sermon this morning. Father God, I want to pray for the words you placed in John's heart to bring to us this morning. What we should pick out from the passage, what message you'd like to leave with us here in our hearts. Let it sink in and let us go with it into our weeks ahead. So yeah, pray for John now, pray for what he's prepared. And thank you for the chance to hear from John. Amen.
Good morning. Can you all hear me at the back? Good. That's excellent. One of the more interesting experiences I had as a newspaper editor was when a reporter wrote a story that was legally dangerous. We editors called them asbestos gloves time as we decided what and what not we could publish. First job was to consult the expert, the company lawyer, and then when she or he had looked at the story, they would ring us back and we would consider the story together. More like a bartering time as we decided what was dangerous and what was only slightly dangerous. We said to the lawyers, how dangerous is that? Not much, they'd say. We'll leave that in then. If it was very dangerous, we would take it out. I must be honest, thinking about the story, the people and the organisations involved, I would leave some of the less dangerous paragraphs in. I didn't want to lose a very good story and not publish any of it. By the way, I never paid out a penny for libel or for defamation. I thought back to my newspaper days as I looked at this passage this morning from 1 Corinthians 14. A difficult passage about the spiritual gifts of speaking in tongues and the gift of prophecy. A passage which has a parallel to a difficult news story from a reporter. So today I want you all to put your asbestos gloves on as we look at these verses together. I'm not an expert theologian. I'm not an expert theologian, so I want you to consult with the biblical scholars. And then I want you to consider your views as you discuss them with other Christian friends. By the way, if you want any help in consulting the experts, there are a series of commentaries by biblical experts in a bookcase near the church office. See Debs for more help if you need it. So in a sentence, my theme of my talk this morning is asbestos gloves time. Consult and then consider. I want to start with the story about two builders walking through the twisting streets of an old town. The first builder went to a little plot of land where he was building a small but beautiful house just for himself and his family to live in. The outside wasn't anything special to look at. He wasn't interested in decorating the bits the public would see, but inside everything was magnificent. The walls glistened with marble. The rooms and the fittings were glorious. Only he and his family would ever see it. But for them, it was a palace. The rest of the world could ignore his house for all he cared. The second builder went down to the village square, where he joined dozens of others working together on a new cathedral that would fill one side of the square, transforming it with a sense of grandeur and space. They were all allotted jobs for the day, hauling pillars into position, sorting out coloured stones for the mosaics, dressing the stones for the upper stories, and making the great carved doors. Who cared what sort of homes the builders lived in? They were building a cathedral, a house of beauty, awe, and above all, a house of prayer and worship to last 1,000 years, a sign of God's love and power. It would be an invitation to everyone to come gladly and humbly into God's presence. The difference between these two buildings shows the contrast the Apostle Paul makes in this passage this morning. One builder is building up their own private spirituality. The other builder is building up public worship for the whole community. As Paul says in verses 2 and 3 of this morning's reading, if anyone speaks in tongues, He is speaking with God, not with men and women. No one understands him, for he speaks divine mysteries into the spirit. On the other hand, if anyone prophesies, he is talking to men and women, and his words have power to build. They stimulate and they encourage. Paul has nothing against private spirituality. It's a fine thing to adorn the inside of one's house and make it a place of beauty, light and joy, and to develop and enrich one's private, deeply personal awareness of God, his presence and his love. It's a good thing, not at all a sign of self-centered individualism. There's no virtue in living in a spiritual slum. The contrast between the two builders is what Paul wants to focus on in this passage this morning. At one level, it simply relates to the ordering of public worship. At another level, it goes to the heart of what Paul wants to say to the church in Corinth. The problem centres on the two gifts he listed, tongues and prophecy. At this point, let me give my own view. I believe that all the spiritual gifts mentioned in the New Testament, including the miraculous gifts like healing, prophecy and tongues, still exist in the church today, and that they are equally valuable and beneficial to the church. Even as I say this, I'm aware there are some who believe that there are miraculous gifts. These don't exist any longer. They were for the early church in the first century. I respect that and accept their views. In this morning's reading, Paul highlights the key question in the first verse. Pursue love and long for the spiritual gifts. Remember, the previous chapter was all about love. And Paul is asking, are you behaving according to the principles of the previous chapter? Or are you exercising the gifts God gives you in a spirit of love? Paul is saying that we should make sure that public worship is building everyone up, like the man building the cathedral, rather than everyone developing their own spiritual gifts and displaying it like so many strutting, precocious peacocks, as the builder building a house of just himself and his family. When people come to worship God, as revealed in Jesus, they're not building their own private houses. They are building a great cathedral for all to share and enjoy. Just to explain a little more about the gifts of tongues and the gifts of prophecy. The gift of tongues refers to the gift of speech, which through making sounds and using apparent or even actual languages somehow bypasses the speaker's conscious mind. It's like a private language of love. It's experienced as a stream of praise, as a sense of love for God, of adoration and gratitude, which wells up and overflows the person. That is its delight. But there's also a problem. It's essentially private. And when private wealth is displayed but not shared, it becomes a matter of showing off. This probably is what some in Corinth have been doing, praying long and loud in syllables that made them feel ecstatic, which neither they nor anyone else could understand. Paul goes on to say the purpose and use of this gift of tongues needs to be thought through carefully. In verse 5, Paul says, the only way tongues are able to be of real value in public worship is if the tongue speaker is able to explain in coherent speech what is being said, or somebody else is able to interpret those words. Paul is not downplaying or degrading the gifts of tongues. He's saying tongues are meant for private worship, while prophecy is meant to build up other believers in public worship. It's fine to use the gift of tongues in public worship as long as there's an interpretation. Part of the problem then and now is in the world of Corinth, there are many religions and cults offering different spiritual experiences, some of which involve the worshippers being carried away into ecstatic states and trances, and sometimes into various kinds of speech. In many parts of the world today, we have the opposite problem. The secular world has starved us of spirituality and many are now eager for any kind of supernatural or spiritual manifestation. Though the gift of tongues can be like a man building his own house, in contrast, Paul says prophecy is the gift that people should seek and pray for if they want to strengthen the whole community, just as a man who is building a cathedral. As Paul says in verse 4, speaking in tongues may build up the speaker himself, but it is prophecy that builds up a Christian community. Paul reminded the Corinthian church their focus needed to be on building each other up, on serving each other, and on helping each other. Their focus needed to shift from themselves to others in the church. So must we here in Worcester. Let me finish with a true story, which is why I believe in spiritual gifts, and in particular, prophecy. Next year is our golden wedding anniversary, next July, if you need to put it in your diaries. I know what you're thinking. It's quite true. Yes, I did get married very young. Anyway, Jan and I have started drawing up a guest list. I would like to invite one particular lady. The trouble is, I don't know whether she's alive or dead. I don't even know if she's alive, where she's even living today. I'm embarrassed to say, I don't know her Christian name. I don't know her surname. I don't know whether she is married, whether she had children, grandchildren, what job she did. In fact, I know nothing about her, except for one important thing. She changed my life. Let me go back to 1988. I'm 36 years of age. I've been in journalism, working on the nationals, the regional dailies, and the weeklies for 16 years. Back in 1988, I just launched my own paper, the Stone and Eccleshaw Gazette. I was selling the advertising, writing the stories, taking the photographs, laying out the pages, overseeing the printing, and organising the distribution teams. That was for 3 days a week. The other 3 days of the week I was working on the Express and Star in Wolverhampton, learning this newfangled technology of designing pages on computers on 3 days a week. In medical terms, I was cream crackered. I was exhausted, working up to 16 hours a day. As was our annual custom, Jan and I and our two young sons, we went to Spring Harvest in Easter 1988, a week-long Christian festival at Butlins in Skegness. You can see Jan and I have always lived the high life. It was a week of worship service, Christian seminars, different sessions for children of all ages, plus the chance to enjoy the huge water complex and the other Butlins attractions. Good old Skeggy. At Easter time, you weren't guided into the tents for the next session. You were blown there by the brutal east wind coming off the North Sea. As we drove up to East Yorkshire, I prayed to God. I said, Lord, I'm exhausted. Do you really want me to continue in journalism? Please give me an answer. We had a great week at Skeggy, but at the end of the week, I'd had no answer to the prayer. We went to the last event, a communion service with 3,000 people in the Big Top. At the end of the service, everybody was rushing out to go back to the chalets, pick up the cases, and get ready to leave for home. As we left the Big Top, I prayed, God, where's the answer to my prayer? A few seconds later, a lady came out of the crowd to speak to our family. We didn't know her at all from Eve. She said, pointing to me, she said, I have a message from God, and it's for you, and it's about your career, pointing to me. She said, up until now, your life has been like a damp matchbox. But now God is going to dry that matchbox and your working life is going to light up like a matchbox on fire. With that, she disappeared into the crowd. And to this day, I don't know her from Eve. I know nothing about her, but her prophecy was 100% true. I stayed in journalism and after that, my career took off big time. When I get to heaven, I want to thank her and give her a hug. She changed my life. She had a couple of seconds And she must have thought, does God really, do you Lord want me to give that message to that tabloid hack? She had a couple of seconds to say yes or no. I am so glad that she did decide to give me that message. If Jan wasn't there to witness it, I may have thought I dreamt it. But I'm eternally grateful that lady did give me that message of prophecy. My message to everyone here this morning, if you feel you've been given a prophecy or words from God, please, and I use this phrase in utter seriousness, in God's name, obey him and pass on those words. You can change a person's life as that lady did to me. I laugh now how I had to learn humility. So often with the Christian life, you have to learn humility and failure before you learn success in God's power. I had to learn that and meet my Lord and Master and see the gift of prophecy at first hand in, of all places, Butlins at Skeggy. Amen. Thank you.